and our internet class, Lord God, all over the United States and the uttermost parts of the world. We thank you for, first of all, for our apostle, Lord God, who, Lord God, is the visionary, Lord God. We submit and we undergird ourselves under the anointing that you have placed on him, Lord God. And we thank you right now, Lord God, Father God, that as we minister, Lord God, that you speak through my mouth, think through my mind, Lord God. Lord God, all of you and none of me, Lord God. I thank you right now, Lord God, that I'll move and operate as a barefooted priest this day, Lord God, and that, Lord God, hallelujah, without you showing up and putting yourself on display, Lord God, I'd fall flat on my face. So, Lord God, I yield totally and completely dependent upon you, Lord God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. One of the things I've learned over the years is having a total dependency upon Jesus. A total dependency upon the anointing and upon God. Recognize that without him, we can do nothing. But in Christ, in him, we can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us. As we yield to him, give him the right of way, then God is able to use us to display his glory. God always, from the very beginning of time, he was looking for a people that would serve him, a people that would worship him, a people that would put him first, and so that he can show himself strong and display his goodness through them. And guess what? We are those people. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. All right. We're going to continue where we left off. And one of the things I just want to say, I just want to welcome my internet audience. And one of the things I'm endeavoring to do this year is to make sure that I address each and every one of you and know that you're out there, because I recognize the school is bigger than what I see here in Darrow. We have, I think, over 230 students enrolled this year, and that's a blessing, praise God. I remember when I think our enrollment when we first started might have been 30 students, 25 to 30 students. The Bible says, despise not small beginnings. Though your beginning may be small, your latter end shall greatly increase. And I just thank God that I've been able to be a part of that over these last 22, 23 years. And, you know, I thank God that I'm going to see many, many more. Praise God. All right, let's move into the lesson. As you know, we're talking on the subject of the spirit of honor. And this is our book. The author here is Tudor Bismarck. Everybody have the book? You guys been reading the book? This is an awesome book. It's a humbling book. It makes you examine yourself and really kind of get, Lord, is there areas that I need to improve on my honor? Honoring you, honoring my man of God, honoring those who are in authority, honoring those that are deserving of honor, because we want what's on them to come upon us, amen? And the only way that can happen is through submitting and operating in the spirit of honor. Okay, our goal in this class is to create a counterculture of honor that will eradicate the spirit of dishonor in individual lives, the local church, and the body of Christ at large. We endeavor to create a culture of honor, one individual at a time, one local church at a time, until it spreads to the whole body of Christ. So that's what we're endeavoring to do, is to counteract the spirit of dishonor and begin to show people how to operate and function and flow in the spirit of honor until it eradicates. You know, you look at society today, you know, when you're looking at TV, you're looking at all of the glamour of what's out there, and it's really not glamorous. But you see a blatant respect for authority, a blatant respect for elderly and for people in authority, and that's an Adamic spirit. That's a satanic spirit of dishonor. And it all started with Satan. Satan says, I wanted to be like the Most High. I want to exalt my throne above the stars of God. I want to be like God. You know, the Bible says that he was lifted up with pride. And one of the things we're going to talk about, not so much in this class session, but we're going to deal with the spirit of pride. Because inside that spirit of dishonor, there's going to be a spirit of pride, you know, of disloyalty. Satan became disloyal to God. Satan led the praise and worship in heaven. But because of his disloyalty and his dishonor to God, he wanted to be like God. Instead of staying in his place, being the praise leader over the angelic host in heaven, he wanted to be God. But the Bible says he was cast down. And so his thing now is he wants to sow in the lives of people dishonor. But what we're doing, we're counteracting that by sowing seeds and showing people how to display and how to operate in the spirit of honor. I want to say this. If you are a partner with Word of Life Christian Center, with EIWM, or with LTMA, you're an LTA member, are you submitted to another ministry, this course will help you to learn to properly sow seeds of honor into men and women of God. All of those people who are life sources, and we're going to get more into what a life source is. And I'm just kind of start off. A life source is someone that gives life, that nurtures life. The Bible says that God is life. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. So God is the author of life, because he is life. So anyone who produces, nurtures, or gives life, according to our author, they are life sources. We are to honor life sources. Parents, you know, we talked about this last week, honoring your mother and father. For this is one of the promises of that you'll get, you know, long life. You know, honoring your parents. This past weekend, I had my mom, who's 80 years old, over to the house. She had two grandkids who were participating in college sports. I have a nephew who plays football for one of the local universities, and his younger brother who plays in the band. So we had her over, we had a good time, we did some tailgating, but honoring her. When she turned 80 years old back in February, me and my three brothers, we got together and we had a celebration where we honored our mother. We had her invite 50 or 60 of her closest friends and relatives, only the people she wanted to be there. And we rented out a church hall and we had food catered. We had, you know, people present, you know, roses and just the works, had a video presentation and just display her life. And let her know that we appreciate you for what you have done, you know. And it turned over so well, went over so well that other of her friends and associates who were there would say, I sure wish my kids would do something like that for me. You know, but that's honor. That's honor. When you honor someone, you're putting them in a high esteem and you're letting them know that you appreciate you giving me life, you nurturing me all those years. I'll never forget, my mom told me, and I'm kind of getting off the subject, but it's relevant. She said, when I was born, she was having complications, and she was told that she had a choice of either saving the baby or saving her life. And she said, save my baby. But by doing that, God saved her life. She's 80 years old, be 82 in February of 2015. But, you know, I can't help but honor that, because if she would have said, no, save me, I wouldn't be here. You see what I'm saying? That's what honor is all about, you know, from the grassroots level. But even more so, honoring God, you know, because he is the giver of life, you know. But that's what a life source is. I want to make sure that we understand fully. And the good thing about this class, and I was thinking about it today in the earlier part of the week, this is if I'm not mistaken, this is a whole year class, right? So I don't have to rush, because the book is not that terribly large. Last year I had a thicker book, and I had like 28 or 20, almost 30-something chapters, and I got good percentage of it, but I'm trying to get it all in a year. But the Lord said, just take your time, and if you just go a half a chapter at a time, one of the things that I'm just, it's just the way I am, because I guess I'm a product of my natural father, who was a drill sergeant in the Marine Corps. He was a staff sergeant, and he believed in drilling things into his kids over and over and over. He would sit down and he would lecture to us. And it got to the point where he would say things so much and so frequently that before the words came out of his mouth, I could say the next sentence. And so if you see me repeating a lot, it's just because I got it honestly. You know, I know that through repetition and through continually just pounding on the word, continually putting it, you know, before you. The Bible says, you know, to write it on the doorpost, and keep it before your eyes. And the more you keep things before your eyes, the more it becomes a part. Because what you want to do, you want it to go into the ear gate, into the eye gate, which is all brings it down into the heart. And once it gets into your heart and you get a revelation of it, then it becomes a part of you. And you just, you live your life. You want honor to be a part of your lifestyle. Our first class session last week, as you know, the apostle taught that first class, and I was in one of the side rooms just kind of preparing for my class, and he walked up on me and says, "Hey, Greg, how you doing?" So I'm reading on honor, so the first thing I do, I stood up, "How you doing, apostle?" And I shook his hand. And he said, "Yeah, the Lord spoke to me about coming, and I just want to come here and start it off today." I said, "Yes, sir." You know, and we talked about our last Show Me Your Glory conference, how glorious it was. And then he says, "Okay." He said, "I'll see you." I said, "Excuse me, sir, before you leave." And I reached in and I pulled out a bill and I sowed into him, sowing a seed of honor. You know, I'm learning now more intensely what that can do when you sow into the anointing. When the greatest seed that you can sow is a seed of honor. There is no greater seed than you can sow than a seed of honor. You can write that down because you'll see it again. The greatest seed that you can ever sow is a seed of honor. No other seed is as great as a seed of honor. Amen. That's so very important. Matter of fact, that was my next point, number three. The greatest seed you can sow is a seed of honor. Amen. And you need to meditate on that. Some things can be taught, but most things from a spiritual perspective needs to be caught. And what I mean by caught, you catch it with your spirit. You get it down on the inside of you, like I said, and it becomes a part of you. You know, we can teach, we can lecture, we can go over and over something. But you gotta grasp it on the inside. It's gotta be real to you. You know, you've got to understand that, Lord, you know, I want everything that God has for me. And I'm gonna do whatever it takes, Lord God, to be in the position and to position myself where you want me to be. And that's why you're here today, because you wanna be used of God mightily. And one of the key elements of being used of God minorly is to be teachable, to keep your spirits pliable, you know, keep your heart soft and open to God, open to correction. One of the things I've learned about this ministry, I'm going off the subject again, but you gotta learn how to take correction. You know, what father who doesn't love his son or his daughter would not correct him? You know, people don't have a problem receiving correction in the natural. But when a man of God or a woman of God corrects you and chastens you, you know, people get disturbed or perturbed or and bent out of shape, and then say, "Well, I'm going somewhere else," and they walk away from the blessing that God put in their life to deliver them and to get them into their wealthy place, to get them where God wants them to be, because of dishonor. And like I said, a lot of times it'll start off as just a seed of just bitterness or a seed of resentment. The Bible says a little leaven will leaven the whole lump. You know, you always want to get something. Anything that rubs you the wrong way, you need to settle it right away. You know, the Bible says not to let the sun go down on your wrath. You know, if you got something indifferent on this, you need to, because it starts off as a little small thing, and then it grows. And then the devil will send people over to nag on it, to scratch it a little bit. And then it get irritated more and more. And now you got some ammunition with other people who feel the same way. You know, birds of a feather always do flock together. You know, oh, I don't want to go there. But I have noticed that people who leave the ministry or leave the place where God called them to do have a tendency to flock together. You know, instead of getting it right, they get around other people who got the same feelings, the same hurts, and they nurture it. Instead of dealing with it and getting back in position, you know, they let that dishonor rob them of the very thing that God had set in place to be a blessing to them, that life source or that apostolic source. All right, let me get back on the subject. Praise God. I remember and see, I say, Lord Jesus, help me, you know. But what it does, it keeps me focused, you know. It keeps me focused because you need to always keep your heart set on the prize, set on what was the last thing God called you and told you to do. You know, I remember, some 20 years ago on my job, I was sent to our corporate headquarters to do a presentation. And the Lord was with me. I mean, I prayed, and I had the CEO and all the executives, the big six-figure people were there. And I'm just like I'm in front of you, I'm talking about, you know, the team concept that we were doing here at the local facility and how we were making, you know, record sales and all, and how, you know, we had team-oriented work groups and so on. But anyway, people were so impressed by the presentation that after the meeting, one of the marketing managers came up to me. He said, "Son," he said, "have you ever done any sales?" I said, "No, I've never done." He said, "I can sure use you in my Kansas region." And I said, "Praise God, I'm finally getting discovered." And I'm all excited, you know, boy, you know. He gave me his card, told me to give him a call and come see him, you know, or, you know, we'll set something up. And I was going back to my rental car with my props and everything, and I'm all excited. But God, God spoke. God says, "I never called you to Kansas," because that's where the marketing manager was. That's where the region he wanted me to work in. God said, "I didn't call you to Kansas." He said, "What did I call you to do?" "I told you that here in Darrell is where you need to be." Matter of fact, the exact words were, "This is where you need to be." I was sitting in a service some 24 years ago, and while the apostle was speaking, the Spirit of the Lord, it was audible to me. I turned around because I thought somebody behind me was talking to me. And when the guy behind me was looking up at the apostle ministering, I said, "Lord, that's you." You know, and that those words have stuck with me. This is where you need to be. You know, so if God called you to do something, you know, don't drop the assignment. Even dropping the assignment is a sign of dishonor, because he put you there for a reason, you know. And when you, you know, come up with another revelation that's different from God, you're dishonoring God, and you're dishonoring what he's called you to do, where he's called you to be. You know, you want to stay put, because I stated this last week. I'm pretty much shot everything I wanted to say because I'm going on another topic. But your blessing is going to be found at the brook. You know, the Lord had Elijah, when he was running from Jezebel, he went to a brook. And he commanded called a raven and told a raven to bring food to him. And if the brook was water, it was nourishment for him. God will call you to a brook or a particular place where he's going to, all the nourishment, everything you need in life and in ministry is going to be found there. And once you found that spot or that place, that's where God's called you. You stay there until now. Your man of God or your woman of God will be in agreement with you when God says it's time for me to launch you in another direction. But even when you launch, you still need to be connected to your apostolic source. You never want to disconnect from an apostolic source because, you know, I use the illustration of a tree. I teach the new members classes. And I say, you know, where we minister at, there's some windows in the back and there's some shrubbery. I say, if I walked out there and took a piece of that shrubbery branch and I break it, you know, the minute I break it, it's going to be just as green as the other parts that's still connected. And even the next day, it's going to still look a little withered, but not a whole lot. But eventually, because it's disconnected from its life source, it's going to die. You see, what people don't understand, you know, you'll get a lot of word, a lot of anointing, and the blessing of God is flowing down because you're properly aligned and you're properly positioned. That's why when you go places and you minister, people get healed, people get saved and set free because you're properly aligned. And so you thinking it's you, but it's the connection that's hooked up to you. I never go and minister anywhere without acknowledging my apostolic source, Dr. Leroy Thompson, the apostle. I let him know that this is not my ministry. I'm submitted to the apostle. I'm submitted to World Life Christian Center. I work in this capacity in prison ministry or if I'm ministering for somebody else. So I immediately align myself so they can identify me not as an independent man on his own, doing his own thing, but I'm submitted. And when you submit it like that, you're operating in honor just by your submission because you're acknowledging the life source that God has placed you under. Amen? All right, none of this is on my notes. Let me make sure I get back on track. Honor is a very important aspect to human existence, but even more so for Christians. I find in the body of Christ corporately a tremendous lack of, now this is the author talking, I'm just reading from the book, a tremendous amount of lack of teaching on the subject of honor, which results in a tremendous amount of misunderstanding and dishonor shown towards life sources in the body of Christ. Hosea 4:6 says, my people are destroyed because of a lack of knowledge. Because they reject knowledge, I'm gonna reject them. You know, what we're doing is putting information in your lap. So through the information, you're going to get a revelation. God's going to reveal what's being stated and being said in these classes. And through the revelation, as you sit under the apostles' class, there where you're going to get now impartation. And what impartation is God imparting into you everything you need to get the job done God called you to do. You know, what you want God's anointing on your life through proper connection, so everything you need is going to be provided for you through that apostolic source, through that life source, that man or that woman of God that God has called you under. You know, there was a movie, and I don't watch it much anymore, but it was called Top Gun. And Tom Cruise played a hotshot F-16 fighter pilot. He flew a F-16 jet. And he was a kind of a renegade. He wanted to do his own thing. He always would leave the formation, and they told him, son, you're reckless. You're going to get us all killed. Because you're not following protocol, you're not following orders. You need to stick to the plan, stick to the program, you know. And at the end of the movie, he's called to put on a mission after he lost his slot as far as being, you know, high up in the class and all. But he learned, and one of the things he says towards the end of the movie, when he's in this dogfight, he says, "I'm not going to leave my wingman." In other words, he says, "I've learned my lesson of being a renegade, of being a hotshot, you know, want to do my own thing, and I see where it has gotten me. I've lost my position. But from now on, I am not going to leave my apostle. I'm not going to leave the apostolic source that God called me to, because I know everything I need is going to be supplied through that apostolic source." I'm not just saying something that I read in a book or that I heard other people say. I've seen it happen and manifest in my life. Time and time again, because of the connection, the provision was there to meet the need at any given time and in any given situation. I remember this one story when my daughter was about to go off to college. And she got approved, or, you know, the papers had got placed in, and she, you know, got accepted into a prestigious engineering college in Atlanta, Georgia Institute of Technology, majoring in aerospace engineering. And she got a scholarship to go along with her education to assist in it. You know, it was going to pay a big portion of it. All the out-of-state fees were going to be paid and everything. But we never got a letter from the administration giving us the details of everything. So after so long, I called them up. I said, I haven't received anything. And the lady said, you'll hear something from us in a few days. Well, sure enough, I did. I got a letter stating that the program or the company or the financial backing of these scholarships are no longer going to support this particular ACM scholarship. And if your daughter wishes to pursue her education at this institution, she's going to have to find another means of support. You know, thank you for your, you know, interest in the university. A Dear John letter. And she read it, I read it, and naturally she's crying because this was her heart's desire. And I'm a dad, you know, and I'm saying, Lord, I don't have $60,000-$70,000 just off, you know, right off the top of my, you know, I can just go put my hands on right now. But I said to myself, I know who do. I have a God who owns a cattle on a thousand hill. You know, the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof. That's my daddy. You know, I have an apostle who's an apostolic source that I can sow into. So I looked at her and I said, do you still want to go to Georgia Tech? She said, yes, I do. I said, well, look, I said, you have a job. I'm working. This is Wednesday. We both going to church. I want you to sow the biggest seed you can into your pastor. I'm going to sow, but I want you to sow. And we were scheduled to go to a freshman orientation or whatever you call it at that time, that weekend. This was a Wednesday. We were scheduled to leave that Friday. And I said, we're going to still go, but we're just going to believe God. God's going to turn this situation around. And so en route to Atlanta, we stopped at a hotel because we left late one evening, and she checked her email. And the email stated that after reevaluating this situation, you had been prior approved for this scholarship. We have decided to honor this scholarship, and we're going to grandfather you in. In other words, you're going to be the last person to receive this scholarship. And when we got there, I'm taking my time with this, but the reason why I'm doing this is because I want to show you what an honor seed will do. You know, this is life experience. This is not, you know, something I read, but just something I experienced. When we got there, there was about 200-300, mainly black kids, because that school heavily recruits black engineers. Matter of fact, they put out more black engineers than in most cases than any other institution in the United States. But when we got there, the assistant dean of academic affairs, she said, before I begin my speech, I need to ask one question. Everybody was quiet. And then she says, and she calls my daughter's name out. Is Jessica Calhoun in the audience? Dear, are you here? We were way in the back. My daughter stood up on the chair. I'm here. She said, did you get my email? My daughter said, yeah. Said, everything is fine. All is well. You see, at that point, you
the Bible.
You know, you
don't have to.
That sowing that
he
seed.
Said,
That seed was valued over $60,000. And it was really more than that, you know. But honor, you know, goes way further than you could ever imagine. And it not only affects you, but it will also affect the generations, your children and your children's children. And the reciprocal of that is dishonor. When you dishonor an apostolic source, when you dishonor parents, well then you begin to reap the curse of calamity. You know, God, you know, basically what God, he just backs his hand away. Because God has placed someone in your life to be an influence, a spiritual, if it's an apostle or a prophet or your pastor over you, or if it's parents and you're still under as a child, you know, and you disobey, dishonor them, well then what's in them cannot come on you. Understand what I'm saying? What's in them cannot come on you. Basically, you dam up or you plug up the flow of life. Remember we talked about life sources? You see, God is life. And last week I stated that the Bible talks, and I think it's Psalms 100, 102, about the ointment that ran down Aaron's head on his beard. You know, like the precious ointment that ran down Aaron's head, down his beard, on his garment, down to his feet. You know, Aaron was the high priest. He was, you know, basically God's mouthpiece. And the oil, the anointing oil, the oil is symbolic of the Holy Spirit. So that oil that ran down his beard, ran down his clothes, his skirt, you know, when you're properly positioned, it ran down the head. You know, it all came from heaven, from a spiritual, it was physical all, but it was symbolic of the anointing coming down. When Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, the Bible said that the Spirit of the Lord descended. He came down in the form of a dove, what looked like a dove, but it was the Holy Spirit came down. The anointing always comes down from the top, and it rests upon whomever God has appointed to be his apostolic source, you know, or his life source. You know, and when you position yourself properly under that life source and submit to the man or the woman of God, God called you to, well, then that all is going to run down into your life to benefit you in whatever you need. The Bible says the anointing of God is what? The burden removing, yoke destroying power of God. So when you're in proper position, you cannot help but be blessed. When you're serving your man or your woman of God, you cannot help but be blessed. But you got to make sure you're doing it with a spirit of honor. Amen? All right, I'm just totally going away. My tablet went to sleep on me. All right, let's move on. People who travel. Now, this is something that I found. And this is what we're going to be working on here locally, you know. But people who travel and live distances from Darrell come to here and sit under the apostolic or the life source, which is Apostle Thompson. God has placed in this area the apostolic and the prophetic gift, and are for the and they're not from the same locale, but they're from other cities, other states. It says they tend to have a greater pull in the spirit, a greater demand on the apostolic anointing than that of those people who live in close proximity. You never want to let your man or your woman of God become too familiar to you. Where, you know, I know their parents. We're going to look at some scriptures in a minute. I know their sisters, their brothers. I grew up with the family. You know, I know them. You know, when you let a man or a woman of God become too familiar to them, to you, where they just become common, you miss out on the blessing that's on their life. Okay, if you want to follow along with me, I'm in Matthew chapter 13 now. And I may read one or two translations. I'm trying to move along, but I can see I'm not going to get where I want to end. But that's okay, too. Matthew chapter 13 and verse 54 through 58. Give you a few seconds to get there. But we're going to see here how Jesus was not honored like he should be in his own hometown among his own people, because he became, or they saw him as being common, or they were too familiar to him. It says, and when he had come into his own country, he taught them in the synagogues, insomuch that they were astonished and said, whence had this man this wisdom and these mighty works? Is this not the carpenter's son? Is his mother called Mary, and his brethren James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? Are they not they were all familiar with Jesus' relatives. Now, this is just me paraphrasing it, through natural ties. Verse 56, and his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then had this man all these things? In other words, being a commoner, how is he able to perform these miracles? You know, he's just an ordinary man. I know his father, Joseph. I know Mary, his mother. You know, we grew up together. We went to school together. We went fishing together. Becoming too familiar with him. And then it says here, and they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, a prophet is not without honor, save or except in his own country and in his own house. When you become offended, now listen to this, when you become offended, you cut off off in the process of blessing God had for you through the apostolic source he sent to bless you. I'm going to read that again. When you become offended, you cut off or off in. When you look at the word offense, it's O-F-F-E-N-D. When you become offended, you off in the process of blessings God had for you through the apostolic source he sent to bless you. You don't want to become offended. You know, I see too many people get off-ended or offended and leave, and the very source of life that God sent to be a deliverer for them, they walk away from it because they got their feelings hurt, you know. And you show dishonor when God has placed you under a mantle, under a ministry that's giving life, that's producing, and you let just something rub you the wrong way and just, you know, I'm out of here, you know. What that's telling me, you really don't understand. You don't have a revelation. You don't understand. You know, there's no father, I stated, that would not scourge his son or his daughter if he saw him going off on a wrong trail. And we don't have a problem being disciplined even on our jobs. When we get lazy and we get maybe a letter in our file or get a bad performance appraisal, you know, but when, from a spiritual perspective, we get scourged and we get, you know, disciplined or set down or whatever, you know, I've seen people who got set down for a season and they got up and left instead of taking the whipping, you know, learning the lesson and getting back in position and moving on in the things of God. You know, that's something we need to get over, because there's no way you're going to receive all the benefits, all the blessings that God has for you when you get offended. Amen? All right. I read that was the King James Version. This is what the Amplified says in verse 57. It says, and they took offense at him. They were repelled and hindered from acknowledging his authority and caused to stumble. But Jesus said, a prophet is not without honor except in his own country and in his own house. And there was one other translation I wanted to read on that same verse. Let's see. Give me a second here. Okay, listen to this. This is the Message Bible. It says, when Jesus finished teaching these stories, I'm going to just read it from verse 53, because the Message don't have a lot of, you know, 53, 54, it may just have a few of them. It says, when Jesus finished teaching these stories, he left returned to his own hometown and gave lecture in the meeting house. He made a real hit, impressing everybody. We had no idea he breathed these words, that he was so good, they said. How did he get so wise, get such ability? One of the things the author says, that when the anointing of God comes on you, your acceleration, your progress is rapid. And people can't keep up with you because you're moving so fast, because God is revealing. I'm running to keep up with the apostle. And sometimes I'm falling down, getting up, keep running, because God is doing so much in this ministry. God is revealing so much to him, you know, and I don't want to get left behind. But it goes on to say, but in the next statement, they were cutting him down. It's talking about Jesus, dishonoring him. We knew him since he was a kid. He's the carpenter's son. We knew his mother, Mary. We knew his brothers, James and Joseph, Simon and Judas. All his sisters live here. Who does he think he is? They got their noses all out of joint. In other words, they turned his nose up to him. Why? Because they got offended because God was blessing him. And they just can't see it because he became too familiar. You never want to let your man or your woman of God, your pastor, become. And that's why it's really not even a good idea to become buddy-buddy with him, hang out with him. No, because when they're operating under an anointing, they are literally turned into another man. The Bible talks about Saul. When Samuel, and I have it in my notes, but because of time, we won't really read it. I'll just kind of paraphrase it. But last week, we talked about how Samuel went looking for Saul because he had lost some asses, some donkeys. And they went, but they didn't have a gift. Well, Saul didn't have anything, but his servant had some 4 shekels of silver and some something to present to the man of God. And we stated last week, you never want to go before a man of God empty-handed, okay? And so later on in the next chapter, Saul anoints Samuel. He anoints him with oil, and then he begins to tell Samuel some things, you know, but you're going to go to Rachel's sepulcher, and the asses that you lost are going to be found. You know, there are going to be some priests coming down from a hill, and they're going to be praising God and prophesying, and you're going to prophesy with them. And then he concludes with that, you know, because the anointing of God is on you, you're going to be turned into another man. In other words, when the anointing of God is present in your life, you know, God takes over. It's the God factor in you. You know, you're just an instrument. God is speaking through you. You know, that's why a lot of times I've heard ministers say, Lord, think through my mind, speak through my lips, you know, use these hands of clay, you know, you're the potter, I'm the clay, use me, you know, I'm yielding myself, oh, because you're acknowledging his greatness. And Lord, I can't do this on my own. Like I said, when I'm, you know, back when I was in grade school, I could barely read and, you know, I'm just, you know, stutter and spit out. But when the anointing of God comes on an individual, it's God's likeness, God's ability that takes over your inability. One of the things I look for in a man of God, when they start off, a lot of times they may start off in the natural, kind of stumbling around, you know, their words slurring but speech ain't got nothing to do with it. But all of a sudden that anointing will kick in, you know, and it's almost like they didn't shifted gears. You know, one of my colleagues, he uses the illustration that they put on their Superman suit. They went in like Clark Kent. You know, Clark Kent was all clumsy and mild-mannered Clark Kent. You know, some of y'all don't remember Clark Kent, you know, but some of us do, you know. But anyway, well, the Superman now ain't what he used to be. No, that's totally different. I don't even, it's anyway, I ain't going to even go there. But when Superman would come out of the phone booth, I mean, he's got that big S on his shirt, you know, on his chest, and he's up and away. I mean, he's another man, even though it's the same physical person, but hey, he's got supernatural. So when the anointing of God comes on somebody, they got supernatural ability, you know. So you don't want to relate to him as Clark Kent. No, that's an apostle. That's a prophet. That's an evangelist or a pastor or a teacher operating and functioning in the very anointing of God, you know. And when you honor and respect the gift, what's on the gift is because you're properly aligned and properly in connection flows into your life, and you're able to receive everything you need to meet every and any situation in your life. Amen. All right, let's move on. I have a few minutes left. Let's see where I want to go from here. Romans 13 and 7 and 8. It says in Romans chapter 13, verses 7 and 8, render therefore to all their dues what you owe them. That's what dues mean. Tribute to whom tribute is due. Custom to whom custom is due. Fear to whom fear is due. Honor to whom honor is due. So here, and we're going to take Romans 13 probably next week, starting from verse 1, because one of the things I also want to deal with, thank you so much, I got 5 minutes left, is God is a God of order. And I don't want to leave that out, because honor falls right into the scheme of that. But in this scripture it says to give honor to whom honor is due. Fear to whom fear is due, custom to whom custom is due, you know, tribute to whom, in other words, you want to pay your taxes. You know, if you owe on taxes, you need to pay your taxes. You need to, and then he goes on to say, owe no man nothing but to love him. We need to believe God to get out of debt, you know, because that's biblical. Amen. This is what the Amplified says. Render therefore to all men their dues. Pay taxes to whom taxes is due. Revenue to whom revenue is due, respect to whom respect is due, and honor to whom honor is due. Keep out of debt and owe no man anything except to love one another. For whosoever loveth his neighbor who practices love others and fulfills the law relating to one's fellowman meeting all the requirements. What I want to point out here is that there is, like I said, there's no greater seed than an honor seed, but you want to give honor to whom honor is due. Honor comes from an Anglo-French word, according to our author, and it's, that word was O-N-U-R, honu, however you pronounce it. This also denotes elevation. It comes from the Latin word honor that means giving of honor. First, honor is that one has high esteem or high public esteem, that they are people or individuals of high reputation, people who are deserving of honor. Secondly, these are individuals that have notoriety and recognition. And thirdly, these are individuals that have certain privileges conferred upon them in lieu of their anointings, their giftings, and their ranks. So that third element I really want to focus in on, a person who has honor are people or individuals of certain who are privileged, or certain things are conferred upon them. One thing about God, God chooses who he wants to choose. You know, the Bible says he confounds the wise. He takes the base things, those things that most people just throw off to the side. God says, I want to use that. You know, and that's why, you know, the apostle, a lot of times you hear him say, God used me because, you know, what good thing could have came out of Daryl but God, you know. But when God places his anointing upon you, like I said, he's turned into another man. You know, God has anointed him, thank you, for the task at hand. All right. And one other thing, and we're going to be gone. We're going to get out of here. It is important that we understand the terminologies, because when we begin to deal with the scriptural principles, we will see how that a lack of honor, reverence, and respect for certain dignitaries, should not happen. A perfect example, like I stated last week, is how people disrespect the president, you know, disrespect offices, you know. We need to respect and honor people at every level, in every area, because that's the only way we're going to receive the full benefit and blessing of God upon our life. Amen? All right, you guys continue to read in your books, and we're going to take up where we left off today. Guys, be blessed. Amen.